Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
David is interesting. As I say, he's an entrepreneur, and he has a company called Inception, which is actually a mental wellness. It's a variety of different things. Mm-hmm. It's a physical facility, and it actually just... Reading it, I'll let him explain it better than I can, but it approaches mental health from a whole different standpoint.
Yeah. I'd like to call it, and maybe you can take, maybe you guys call it this, a wellness enterprise.
Well, we call it the first mental health gym.
Okay. Mental health gym. Yeah, that's something that, so let's start right there, because that really caught my attention, because usually it's a mental health clinic, mental health facility. Mm-hmm. Even like a mental hospital, right? I've never heard of it. A mental gym. When you think of gym, you think of like exercise and working out, a physical gym. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting when you said mental health gym. So what does that mean? What's a mental health gym?
Well, the reason why I came up with the term mental health gym is because I want to normalize the actual process for everyday people to come in and take care of their, the number one thing we have is our mind, right? But there's nothing for just the everyday average person. When we talk about mental health, we always talk about, you know, the aunt who's schizophrenic or something like that. We go to this very extreme, but we don't understand that 70 to 90% of doctor's visits are due to stress-related illnesses. So all of your issues that's happening right now is based on stress and anxiety. And well, stress, anxiety is just a symptom of stress, but stress and trauma. So I wanted to create something in my first business, you know, kind of going back in 2007, because I personally suffer from anxiety, depression, and panic attacks. And from that standpoint, I was personally looking for something to help me overcome what I was dealing with. But at that time, there's only two resources really available to us. Typically, it's talk therapy, and the other is medication. And that's when I found my first technology that we use called brainwave optimization. Brain training is the other term for it. And that helped me overcome my anxiety by 50% just in one day. Pharmacology can't even get those types of results. And this is all alternative-based technology. It's not considered in the mental or the medical field. So and discovering that technology and having that experience for myself, that me and my dad brought that technology. We were the first ones to bring it back to Michigan. And we first started what's called Neuro Fitness Center. So really, the mental health gym is just an extension of that foundation that we started in 2007. And so Inception is just, it was a name, and it's like, well, I need to put a title to it to call the people to understand that, hey, you go to the physical gym. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you do something for your inner self?
I think you said something brilliant. You said a lot of people across the country, they look at gyms opening up, right? And a lot of people work on that outside appearance, but they forget about the inside appearance. And it really just means that there's a lack of something inside that makes you want to have the outside be validated more than it should be. It was when you took that into mind, right, and creating Inception and thought about the brain training, what took the technology? Where did you get this from? Because you didn't initially study science, right?
No. My background is in information technology. So, but the brain is really like the internet, and the universe is like the internet. They all mimic each other. So I kind of understood networks, and I understood neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is the idea that your brain can actually change itself. Because growing up, we were taught that, and we all probably heard it, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that really conditioned us to understand that once something was set, you're pretty much stuck with that pattern. There's nothing you can do about it. That's always been the conversation. But that's not true. Your brain is constantly changing and developing. The problem is we continue to do the same pattern, so we get the same results, right? We found that technology, and I found it out of Arizona. And it's just some amazing people out here that's been doing amazing things in the alternative world, but you never hear about it because it's not in mainstream medical society. So I was really kind of like on a cusp, as an outlier out here with, you know, these people in the alternative world, and looked at it in a specific way. But now you fast forward 13 years later, you hear everybody know who Dr. Sabi was. I knew who Dr. Sabi was 13 years ago, but you didn't hear that story because that story was suppressed because, look, it's money and sickness, not necessarily in being well.
So can we talk about your journey as far as, so 2005, you suffered from severe anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and insomnia, right? Where did that just happen overnight, or was that something that you always kind of struggled with and just kind of got worse as you became older, or?
Yeah, so kind of like both. I always try to take people in and understand the trauma paradigm and understanding that we've all experienced trauma in our lives. The problem is when we talk about trauma, we always think about it from, someone was in a car accident or somebody was raped or something like that. But trauma is anything that's overwhelming to your nervous system. You could have been, you know, coming down the slide as a kid, and then your dad or your mom forget to catch you and you fail. And all of a sudden you're traumatized by that. So it can take very small instances that can overwhelm your system, you know, depending on how your system sees a threat. So you take a look at, I tell people, they say, what happened to you? I say, well, I was born. The moment you're born, your trauma clock starts ticking. You start to, you know, experience world in an unsafe way. And anytime your brain feels unsafe, it's going to go into the fight, flight, freeze response to protect you. So that's all trauma is. Trauma is just nothing but a defense mechanism based on lack of safety. So I've had, you know, you go into school. We all at one point in time, either we were bullied at school or we were the bully. And those two things stem from, you know, a lack of safety, right? So going to school, you know, you have instances of school, and then growing up, I was in a couple car accidents, and really is no one event for me that took me to that one place. It just was accumulation of everything to the point where now my system can no longer adapt. And now I'm having panic attacks and anxiety and depression. But when people come to me and they say they have these symptoms, I always go back. Okay, what happened before? What happened when you started getting these symptoms? And it's all, you can trace it back to that trauma.
So you spoke about, as far as a technique, I forget what it's called, but it's the brain. Is it alternative? Yeah, yeah. What exactly is that?
So brain training is a computer software. Is the technical term is called neurofeedback. Neurofeedback had been around for 30 years. So back to that trauma concept, where your brain is going to go into a state of defense based on what you're up against, right? And it's going to protect you. Now, this is all instinctual. It has nothing to do with you. You know, your brain is going to react, just like if it starts to get warm in this room, in your room, you may start to sweat, but you didn't turn the sweat glands on, right? Like, so your body is hardwired and coded to protect you. But after the event is over, after the stressful, traumatic event is over, your brain becomes locked down in that pattern, still protecting you from stuff that happened years ago. So the neurofeedback is allowing your brain, is we're placing sensors on the scalp, and it's all read only. It's not electroshock therapy, so there's no, you know, juice going into the sensors. So it's picking up the brainwave activity in real time, sends it to the computer software, and the computer software begins to send back this information to the brain, where you're listening to music, and there's these skips, pauses, and interrupts in the music. And what that is, those skips, pauses, and interrupts, is when your brain is going into these patterns of, like what I spoke about before, of stress and trauma, and the brain becomes aware of itself. So if I say, hey, you got something on your face right here, what do? You're going to go and try to get it off your face because you want to be optimal. Well, the same thing happens to the brain when it's able to observe itself. So the brain training is really acting as a mirror. So the brain can see itself, and the brain can change itself. The brain changes itself by moving from a state of anxiety, stress, trauma, to a state of relaxation, because now the brain recognizes, hey, the threat is gone. It's not even in front of us anymore. Why are we still acting as if that threat is still present? So we have clients who come in and they'll do, you know, brain training in one session, and they'll end up in tears. Why is it? Because now the brain finally let go of everything that was holding on to, and the body is now going to a relaxed state, and the emotions have to surface.
Okay. So as far as, you know, turning it into an actual business, right, because you decided to try not only help people but actually build out a whole brand about it, what was the deciding factor, and how did that come about? As far as, all right, so you had some issues, and then you actually seeked help yourself, and it worked out for you, and now you actually want to turn that into something where you're helping other people. Like, what's the process into actually incorporating it and actually making it something that you want to make into an enterprise?
So the when we created the first business, Neuro Fitness Center, you know, we were using that technology, so we became affiliates of that technology. And again, we brought that back here and was the first ones. And we only had one technology at that time. And when we were out in Arizona, me and my dad, we saw all these people come in. None of us, when I mean us, no black people was there.
Yeah.
Other than the FedEx guy delivering stuff, right? So me and my dad, the only people there, and we seeing people come in through like lunch breaks and things of that nature. And we started talking to a lot of them, and the results that they were getting was amazing. And it was like our results. So we felt like this is something that people really needed. But we were really naive, because we thought, as you know, just me and my dad, we thinking as entrepreneurs and thinking, oh, this could really help people and people would want it. But people didn't really want it.
Yeah. That was my next thing. It was like, there's a stigma, especially in our community, around mental health. It's not something we want to talk about. Like you said, it's like, oh, that's my uncle who lives in that room, and don't mess with him. And how did you get around that stigma and combat that when you were going on this journey?
You know, honestly, I didn't even recognize the stigma. I just knew that I had an issue. I was an entrepreneur. I got a tool that helped me, and I was helping other people. And we had clients coming in, so I never really looked at it as an issue. But along the way, I started recognizing that when we even just offered it free to our family, like, they wouldn't even come in. So it was like, what's wrong? Why don't you come in? And it's not just that it was a stigma. It's because people have an association to their pain, where, you know, an unfamiliar gain is greater than a familiar, gain. So a familiar pain is greater than unfamiliar gain. So people will want to stay in that pattern because it's like, well, I know this pain and I don't know what's on the other side of this, but I'm familiar with this. So I'd rather stay in this pattern. That is a psychological term that's out there. It's secondary gain. They actually receive something from staying in the states that they're in. You'll see people who will constantly complain about having all these different things, but you'll see that they won't actually take steps to do anything about it. So that's kind of like thing that we've been kind of up against for the last 13 years. So to really answer the question, I've just really stayed the course for the last 13 years to, you know how truth goes through those three stages. First is violently opposed, second is highly ridiculed, and thirdly is widely accepted. Well, we're going on a widely accepted stage. I just happen to be still doing what I've been doing 13 years ago and evolving along with, you know, the consciousness as it moves towards that.
So as far as, I know you have the 3,500 square foot facility, and I would assume that building out a mental wellness facility or mental wellness company in general would be kind of hard to get financing because, like you said, especially in our community, Black community, it's not something that we really acknowledge. Even a lot of people still don't even acknowledge mental illness, and it's not something that we talk about, and it's not something that, you know, people don't really go to therapists that much. So, like, how was that journey as far as, like, financing? Like, how were you able to get financing and actually, you know, get people excited and rallied behind a business that there's definitely a need for, but like I said, it's not really like a popular thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you about all the pitfalls along the way, because I want people to have a very clear picture that this is not like easy peasy, right? So when we first started, it was just me and my dad, and he put up his own money for whatever technology we needed at a time. We only had like 1,100 square feet. And so along the way, again, I kept looking at different things because I still needed to get better myself. And there's no one tool that just takes you to the promised land. You know, you need, you know, a multitude of tools. If you go to the gym, if that gym just has a bench press, I mean, you're out of there, right? So we need multiple tools. So along the way, I just kept taking the money that we were making and reinvesting it back into the business and adding different technologies. But it started really taking off in 2014 when I added one of our most popular services called flotation therapy. Mm. And flotation therapy had been really growing around the world. And so that one service, by adding that one service, my business started to really skyrocket. And people started going out there and making what's called float centers. But because I had my background in what I was doing in the beginning, I knew that just having a center with one tool eventually wasn't going to be the thing, right? It wasn't going to work. We had a gym here years ago. It was called Fitness USA. And they had these lifetime memberships. And this is before all the gyms started really popping up around 1999. And what I saw, too, was happening is that places like Bally's and Fitness, LA Fitness, and they start coming on board. And what did they start doing? Add more amenities, right? Add more services. So I kind of took that same approach and said, you know, if you just got one service, as these wellness based technologies come out, and you have no philosophy or rhyme or reason of what you're doing, you know, it's going to be hard to survive that. And that's really what's been happening. You see people with these one tools, and they really don't even know how they work. So I had the framework and understanding of what it is that we were actually doing, to the point where I had a medical doctor come and do some floating. And he said, you know, I want to open up something. And this was with our neurofitness center business. And we went and opened my full-fledged concept up in Ann Arbor. So we did that, and that's how I actually, that was an investor that came in that put that money up. But then we started having problems with that investor, and we had to go through a lawsuit with that investor. And next you know, I'm out of that location, long story short. So anybody who thinks about going to to sue someone, specifically if it's a medical doctor, if you're of color, that's probably not the best thing to do. You know, you're probably not going to win that fight. But in not winning that fight, it was a great situation for me because I had already learned, you know, how to do a build out. And I already had multiple people coming at me wanting to do more things because they saw the model that we had and understood it. And so I moved away from that and started fresh and just started inception. It's the beginning of something new.
So at that point, you have the brain training and then the flotation device, flotation therapy?
I had 6 different services at that time.
Okay. So my quick question about the brain training is, I want to know the difference between that and meditation, or are they combined? Like, what's the differences there?
So meditation is simply closing your eyes and observing yourself so that you become self-aware of your thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, meditation can be really hard for people whose nervous system, again, you're stuck in that fight or flight response, that fight or flight or freeze response. So when you close your eyes, you try to meditate, it's like your mind is just racing and you feel very overwhelmed by trying to meditate. So the brain training is not necessarily a meditation tool. It's really, and this is what's trying to take place with meditation as well, is just a slower moving process. But brain training is like that meditation on steroids, where it's deactivating your autonomic nervous system, which has to do with that fight or flight response. So when it comes to mental health, I don't look at it from a psychological standpoint. And that's where most people look at it at. And your authorities on the subject matter shows you that these are brain body issues that we have within the mental health is brain body issues. So again, that brain training is really looking at the structure of your brain and body and deactivating that versus having it go after you in a conscious way. So did that make sense?
Yeah, man. The issue is in the tissues, right?
It's in the tissues, absolutely.
So you said, so I want to go back to the gym. So that's interesting, though, because, you know, gyms, they do have a unique business model. And like you said, I mean, they have different, you know, different things. Like you go to a gym and they might have a yoga class and they have a spin class. Mm-hmm. They don't just have just one thing. If it's a good gym, like they have a variety of different things. So for you to open a mental gym, it makes complete sense that you have actually offer a variety of different classes and things like that. So from a business standpoint, do you run it the same as a gym? Like, is it a monthly membership that people pay, like per month, or can they pay like a la carte? Like, okay, I want to go to this class, or I want to go to this class. Like, and do you have to go to classes every week? Like, how's that?
Well, all of our technologies are really kind of plug and play. They are class-based, so you come in and how we structured it with the circuits, our total life reset circuits, is three technologies, three services within a 90-minute time frame, and we have a set price for that. We had a membership model, too, where people can come in and get that same circuit once a month. And so we have two different circuit tracks as well. So really what we're doing is taking all those years of everything I've learned and simplifying it and saying, hey, this is what you need to come in and do and why, versus you trying to figure out, you got 6 different technologies, what do I do? You ever seen the people at the gym and you see them on these videos where, you know, they like funny videos, people on workout machines, they're doing crazy stuff because they don't know nobody taught them how to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what we do in our technologies. People don't know really why they're using something. So we want to guide them along the process. And so this is something that we're constantly carving out to that understanding for ourselves and for them. And that's the philosophy of it all.
All right. Dope. So in the next segment, we're going to get into some more details and find out some more information for sure. All right. So in this segment, we're going to talk about a few different things. But one thing that you know, I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of people might be interested in nowadays is the mental effects of isolation and social distancing. This is something that we've never really seen on a large scale, but it's been scientifically proven that, you know, humans for the most part are social creatures. Whether it's, you know, attending a religious institution or whether it's a church or whatever, or going to school, going to work, everything, for the most part, you're always congregated around people. Even if you're an introvert, you still go to school, you still go to work. Like, you have some kind of interaction. This is like the first time in, you know, I can remember probably in modern history where everybody's been isolated for a long period of time. So what do you think the mental effects of social distancing will be on people?
Lowered immune system and high trauma. So 2007, I heard a story, and I don't have the exact source of this, but they were telling me that. So if there's a, let's say there's a pool of fish, and one fish diverts from that pool, and that there's an earthquake. Well, the pool of fish together collectively survive that earthquake. That one fish that went off dies. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's group economics. It's group energy. It's group currency, right? You by yourself stand alone, you can't survive that. This is why we go to churches. This is why we're really very tribal. You know, we're more stronger together than we are apart. So the social distancing effects, I mean, again, it's our brain is literally reacting to this. Our brain is reacting to lack of touch too, because touch is huge. And we don't even talk about that. So specifically as being men don't really get touched. Why do we think we always have to sex? We don't really get touched. Would you get a handshake from your brother or something? Like sometimes, but you don't really, it's not like many people hugging you, right? So I think that we're going to see some major deficits from this in terms of just mental, emotional, and physical because of, again, distancing and constantly seeing trauma over and over again by constantly watching the numbers. And, you know, in Detroit, a lot of people have died. So to keep seeing that, people I know, people who I went to school with, parents and things of that nature, that's very traumatic to be watching that. So I think that it's going to be worse than the virus.
Yeah. And I work in elementary school, so I'm always thinking about the mental well-being of the children that are going through this, right? I have a son who's in kindergarten. So this is his first school experience, right? And there's so many children throughout the United States and throughout the world, really, that are living in social isolation. And sometimes that's not the best environment. Do you think there is, like, maybe something modified that brain training could be something that could creep into education? Right, because I feel like the mental health piece is going to be something that we won't know the long term effects, right? Because we're living in it right now.
Mm-hmm. So say that again. Do I think that brain training would be kind
of, or some type of modified version of it, of having mental health professionals? I know you guys have a team there. Is it something that could creep into education?
Yeah, I mean, we've been looking at wanting to be able to put this into like school settings, but it's just a lot of red tape involved in that. Now we do work with kids in general. But again, it's a lot of red tape with that, but we actually made some headway in getting to the Detroit police. And right before this happened, we had 20 Detroit police officers that was supposed to come in on April 5th and that got diverted. So that's something that we want to do, is get out there and be inside communities and take our tools outside of the doors to the people who need it, which is really, you know, everybody.
So one of the things that stops middle class, just black community in general, from going to mental health is the prices, right? So like, you know, therapists, they can charge, it depends, $100 an hour, $1,000 an hour, depending on what part of the country you're in. And I think it's always been looked at as kind of like a luxury. A lot of times going to therapy is something that, you know, wealthy people do. So what's your thoughts on that? Like I said, specifically for our community, what's your thoughts on that? And how have you battled that as far as your business model? Because obviously you're in Detroit, which isn't, it's a blue collar town, which obviously has had a lot of economic issues. So like, how do you handle that from the economic standpoint?
I handle that as a businessman and understanding that people pay for what they want. You know, people pay for the things they find value in. So the problem hasn't necessarily been the pricing. The problem has been they don't see the value in it. Like, I don't understand, like, what is this really doing for me? You know, but we'll stand in line for Jordans. We know this. How many times somebody on your show had to say that, right? We stand in line for Jordans.
That's always the example. That's you.
I just thought
it
about
just
that.
Happened the other day, right?
Yeah, everybody, that's the example. And we do.
And my thought process is, because when I was dealing with anxiety and panic attacks, you know, I'm not a wealthy person, but I'm gonna make it happen. I'm gonna get what I want. And I put a lot of money into myself, because that's, if I put so much into here, I'm gonna get more out of myself. I'm gonna be in a better state to be able to manifest and create opportunities for myself and other people. Those shoes or whatever things that we buy, it doesn't do that, right? So I think that has just really been a brand issue, you know, and that's what I think, that inception, that we're rebranding mental health, because I'm working with a lot of, you know, hip hop artists. I want to work with, you know, we work with Charlamagne, working with people. I don't want to look at this as like, you know, come because you have this issue. No, come because you want to better yourself, not because you have some diagnosis.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I want to talk about the Charlamagne thing too, because you're the second guest that he's worked with. And I think it's interesting because, yeah, he's been very vocal about his mental health. And he's wrote a book about it. And he's been, you know, obviously very on the forefront of that. So how did that partnership come about as far as with you and Charlamagne?
I told my mom back in January 2019, I said, I'm going to get Charlamagne. I don't know how I was going to do it. I just believe, I mean, I'm big into manifesting. I'm big into creating my reality and understanding that. And by using all my tools, it gives me a level of peace and slow downness and relax, where I can be a businessman who's going to be in flow versus trying to make things happen. I don't like that process. I want to be in the flow of everything. So for Charlamagne, it was just natural. It's like, this guy is talking about this, but I feel like he's missing pieces that I lied to him. And so I kept tagging him in a post, because we had some posts that went viral about, there's a picture of me and my mom's saying how we created the first mental health gym, and it started going viral. So I started taking it and retagging him and Big Sean as well, because Big Sean's from the D.
Yep.
So I'm tagging him. I'm tagging, you know, the notable people in the mental health field. Like, I want to talk to y'all. All right. And one day I wake up and I just look at my IG and I see CT the guy start following you. I'm like, yo, this dude just started following me. I'm tripping out. Like, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Actually, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm tripping out. Like, I'm like, I wonder, is he going to message me? Because I had already messaged him.
Yeah.
Told him, hey, I got this going on. I want to work with you, blah, blah, blah. Right. And he messaged me and said, first, everything he says, peace. He said, peace. Oh, man. He said, what's your number, man? So he gave me his number and we started talking. You know, I told him what I was doing. And he was like, you know, I want to be down with what you're doing. And so we, you know, we had a little back and forth in terms of playing tag until one day I finally we kind of reached each other and started really building. And I went and picked him up. It was like June 2nd last year. I still remember June 4th last year. And I picked him up. We were riding in the car. I said, hey, you found me through me tagging you, right? He said, no, that's not how I found you. I said, well, how did you find me? He said, I looked up Mental Health Gym. I searched Mental Health Gym because I wanted to create something. To see if it was something that was like a mental health gym out there. And at that moment, I knew, is a saying that what you're seeking is seeking you.
Hmm.
And me and him were seeking each other. And so he said, man, I saw it. And if I saw some other dudes was doing it, I was just going to do my own thing. He said, I saw it was a brother and I saw you had been messaging me. And so that's really how it happened. And we've been, you know, we've been building ever since then.
Yeah, he's definitely been at the forefront of the mental health space. Have you seen more men of color as clients since then? And who was the demographic of clients that you have?
Well, first, let me say this. In the first probably 12 years, my client was 99% white women.
Okay.
That was my clients. Last year alone, I saw more black people come through that door in probably a month than I had in the whole 13 years.
Hmm.
And black men, we're definitely showing up now. So the numbers are really half and half, to the point where someone asked me, said, is this place for black people only? I said, no. But people assume that now because so many black people are coming in, right?
The perception.
So it's we're gravitating to it. We're getting this message. It's our time to really heal. And I think that men, like, look at us. We're talking about this, right?
Right.
Now we're like, hey, man, like, no, like, no, this stuff I learned in childhood was dysfunctional. This was not the way to go, right? We understand that. I can even look back at our music, like, man, I love this stuff, but man, that was dysfunctional. Like, that some of that stuff wasn't good for my mind, you know? So it's a lot of us coming in now. So it's exciting to see, actually.
So how do you market? How do you market, just because it's not like a traditional business, I guess, where, you know, obviously it kind of takes a little bit more creativity to market. But I like what you said about the story. That's a great way of marketing. Things like social media, stuff like that. So what's your marketing strategy?
That's my main marketing strategy right now is through the IG, through Instagram, and then word of mouth. And then I do have around 20 to 30 ambassadors.
Hmm.
I started really connecting with people in the city who were really movers and shakers, who I thought really fit what we do. And they came in, and so they go out and they spread that word.
Can you talk about that, the ambassador program? Like, what does that look like?
So our ambassadors, they have access to our services, and, you know, and like I tell them, come in and use everything and get yourself to a place of the best mental space, physical space that you can be in, because at that point you're just a walking billboard. You know, it's kind of like if you're walking around with six packs of abs and you know, your shirt's off, people are gonna run up to you like, hey, you a trainer? Yeah. You can train me. So really, that's really the same model that we have for our ambassadors. It's very simple for them, but you know, they come in, use the services, and they go out into the community and they see people who you know, want it, and they bring them in.
So,
you
know, just regular people, or
yeah.
So, I mean, somebody else said that the other day that we spoke to Arjanisa, shout out to her, but it's like, you got to have evangelists. So people look at influencer marketing, and they only look at it like on Instagram as like paying celebrities to like promote your product. But there's all kinds of influencer marketing, and there's all kinds of different ways how you can have evangelists for you. And that's the best. That's really the best form of marketing, is like to have, you know, a core group of people who really believe in your product and have them actually tell their friends, their family. Because it's like, even if you want, like if you give the product, and this goes for just any business in general, I feel like if you have a, you know, a restaurant, right? And you might say, okay, look, I'm a feed this one person, but this one person is connected to 25 other people. So he's going to eat for free, but he loves the food so much, he goes back and he tells his whole neighborhood, his whole block about the food. Now 15 people that he told come in, now they're paying. It's worth it. And I think that, you know, for entrepreneurs, like I said, that's a valuable lesson just for entrepreneurs in general.
It's never definitely the strategy.
Yeah.
I found that, you know, a lot of stuff I started doing before we are bigger now, I was just doing it, you know, under my old company, Neuro Fitness Center. I was following Lululemon's model, you know, which is, you know, their ambassador program. They, you know, they're arming all their yoga, these yoga teachers with their clothing, you know. That's how Lululemon really got to that place that they are, is through a really strong ambassador program.
Yeah, you're the leader of this mental health gym space, right? So I'm thinking, and even you said Charlemagne searched it. Have you seen anybody try to create it or replicate it or come into the space? Are you seeing more people doing that?
I mean, people will come into the space, and again, like I said, they'll put a bunch of technologies under one roof. And then they'll hear me get on a podcast. Like I did a podcast with a guy who had a floating podcast just for floating. And I came on and I started talking about everything I'm talking about, trauma, fight or flight response, all these different things. And he said, wow, we never heard of that before. So I'm like, so what are y'all doing? Like, what are you doing with the tools? You don't even know. It's like a, you know, you give a baby grand piano to anybody, but that don't mean they're going to get on there and play it. Yeah. Right. So for me, the brand and the philosophy is what Inception is, not so much we put all these tools under one building, because I've had more tools at one point and pulled them out because they didn't fit the rhyme or reason. So I'm kind of ahead of understanding how the pieces work and why they work.
Yeah, the brand ambassador. Once again, I just want to go back to that because that made me think of another interview that we did. We interviewed Nick Storm, shout out to him. And he was like the driving force behind Ciroc and Hypnotic as well. And especially when it's Ciroc, he was saying, like, you know, people might not know, but the reason Ciroc really blew up is not Diddy. It was actually the ambassador program with DJs. And they had DJs from all over the country, from New York to Ciroc Detroit Boys. To Atlanta to and they focused on the DJs because they understood that the DJs was in the nightclubs where people buying bottles in the nightclubs. So that's when they started with the Ciroc Boys. And he was telling us the whole play behind the ambassador program. And when you told me that, I just realized that, you know, a lot of times we hear stuff on such a high level like that Ciroc ambassador program, but it's like you could really implement any kind of business strategy, whether it's a big or small level. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's
that strategy when it was me by myself working. You know,
yeah, so, it's all about creativity.
So wait till you get to a certain level to implement something like that.
Yeah, now that's dope. So as far as like on a mental health conversation, because like I said, I mean, I think that it's not talked about enough as far as the stress that entrepreneurs might face. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are entrepreneurs or business people. Can you talk about that? Because it's a unique set. You as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you probably know yourself, right? Like even going through this coronavirus and not being able to open up your business, like the financial demands and just the different stress levels. You don't work a 9-to-5 job if you're an entrepreneur. You never get off. You're always thinking about your business. 2 o'clock in the morning. That can cause divorces. That can cause you not spending enough time with your children. It can cause you all kinds of mental stress. So I think that's something that we haven't spoken about as well. So I want to talk about that because there's always a flip side to everything. And the flip side of being an entrepreneur is the mental. So how can people mentally, you know, get themselves in a good space? And can you talk about some of the mental stresses and pressures that entrepreneurs may face?
I mean, you said it, like it's a daily thought process. And specifically when you start taking on, when I start taking on employees and my rent quadruple, you know, you got a bigger nut to crack before you can break even, right? So that day-to-day stress or monthly stress, because really around the beginning of the month, everybody's stressed, right? Specifically business owners. And I realized that because I was doing, probably about 20 years ago, I was doing, what do they call, factoring. Where we take invoices and pay on those invoices. Where I learned at that point in time that the average business is literally at that point was like 6 weeks from going out of business, you know, based on their cash flow. So this is something that's like, it's not just, you know, a few people, it's all of us who, you know, in the business world, we have these mental, these stressors going on. If I didn't do my own stuff, dude, I would have been gone. Like, there's no way I could have been overcome. I was going through a lawsuit, still running the location, still running another location, and building Inception all at the same time while going through a lawsuit. And, you know, I spent a lot of time brain training. I spent a lot of time using my tools because, again, when you're going through stuff like that, and you, especially a lawsuit, and you get these, what they call interrogatories and things of that nature. They send you stuff and they tell you the worst thing about yourself, right? And you just fired up like, what? He said what? Like you know, they keep doing that and still be trying to build the business, and then the businesses aren't necessarily where they need to be. And I gotta pump in cash flow for both businesses. I mean, that's very stressful, but you have to find some type of outlet that's outside of your business. And that's something I did in 2017. I actually started, I got with a guy, and I wanted to learn it earlier. I started salsa dancing. And then I would go once a week to my homie who's from New Orleans, who's like one of the best Cuban salsa dancers in the world, black guy named Dwayne Wren. And I would have that mental space, and that 1 hour with him, you know, once a week, and then I would go out and I would dance. It gave me ability to get back into some type of community where people didn't know me as like a, you the business owner, you this, you that. Like, I need to be able to just go and focus on something that's totally outside of my business. And that's one of the things that helped me, and just community too. You need people around you. You can't be, if you're out here and you're a lone soldier, I mean, entrepreneur suicide is really high. People don't know about that. You know, because again, specifically now, I'm fortunate in the sense of, I guess some people think I'm fortunate, not fortunate, but I'm single. I don't have a family. Like, that's how I'm able to go through this, because there's no way I would take a wife and kids through what I'm going through right now. And a lot of people do. And I'm like, I commend you. I don't even know how you do that, because there's no way I would be able to do that. So if you're a single person, an entrepreneur, you definitely have to surround yourself with strong people. And I never really had the business people, you know how you want to find mentors and people who are doing great business. I never really had that. I've been doing this kind of all on my own the last 13 years. And here and there, I'll get plugged in with little people here and there. But I think it's important to find community to do something outside of your business, and find community to people who are doing things bigger than you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.